In the last several months, I've had a number of opportunities to speak with the church in classes and in sermons, and I appreciate all of that. I know something that I've made mention of during that time is a desire for a new truck, and I'm very happy to say that that desire has been met. A number of weeks ago, I was finally able to purchase a truck that I had known about for a number of months, but I had to wait for the seller to get the title so that he could sell it. It was kind of an odd situation that the details of don't really matter. And when I found this particular deal, and it was a good deal, it had several miles under anything I had been looking at. It had a lot of features that if I was buying something newer or certainly new, I probably would not look at, because that would have increased the price substantially. The guy was just willing to sell it at a low price just because he just really didn't want the thing, and he didn't have any money invested in it, so it was kind of a win-win. I got a good deal. He made money on something that he didn't want. And it's a very nice vehicle. It's a truck worthy of its new owner. And I've always been pretty good about keeping up with scheduled maintenance on vehicles. And I decided with this one, and that, fortunately, I think that'll transition over to our other vehicles, I need to be better about keeping it clean, you know, not letting it go months at a time without being washed, keeping the junk out from the inside. That's a lot easier when your children are not terrorists. But I have to work hard, and I'll have to work harder. And I washed it. Because the guy that had it before me, he kept it immaculate. And he hardly ever drove it, which is why it had so few miles on it. He kept it in a garage with a cover on it most of the time. So the thing never got dirty. And I know that I'm not going to be able to keep it near as clean as he did. But I gave it its first washing Monday. And I went outside, and there was bird poop on it. Not just a bird poop. Bird poops. Like five on the hood, a couple on the roof, a couple on the side. So I had to proceed to almost rewash the whole thing again. And I get done and I go, you can't win. You just can't win at life. I always get the red lights. If I move over into the lane that is moving from the lane that is not moving, that lane stops moving. You can't win. But you know what? Know what I also thought? You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to win in this world and in this life. And let me tell you why that's not a negative thing. It's not that we are not victorious as Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul spoke of the victory that is given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. And John in 1 John 5 and verse 4 said, it's this victory that has overcome the world, and that is our faith. We should enjoy everything that we can in this world, in this life. We should seek good. We should be content. We should seek contentment. The thing is, we should not look to this temporary world for our victories. The wise man Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 1 and 14, I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after the wind. Again, appreciate and enjoy all you can in this world and in this life, but look beyond it for your contentment ultimately. Look beyond this life for your satisfaction. Look beyond this life for your success. Don't define victory. Don't define success by earthly standards. And I'd like to share a couple examples. When we often think, as parents, we often think, success for children. I want them to grow up, get good education. I want them to have a good job where they earn a good living. I want that for my kids. I absolutely want that for my kids. Michelle and I already looked at Easton, and we see his mind and some of the things that he does and how creative he is. And we say, this child needs to be an engineer. His brother should probably be in demolition. But we look at them already and we say, this is what they should do. We think about their earthly futures. And we want them to be successful at that. We want them to be equipped well in those ventures, whatever it is they choose to do. But what good is it for my children to do well at various things in life if they are not Christians? That's not success. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Yes, I better think about their futures and whatever success is in an earthly sense, but true success is raising godly children regardless of what they do for a living. That is true biblical success in that realm. Sometimes success means documented achievement. For Christmas, I got this outstanding coffee mug. It says, "This is what an awesome dad looks like." And it's got an arrow pointing up, just in case you needed further clarification on who that is regarding. I love that cup. It documents the fact that I am an awesome dad. I don't need that cup to say that, but it's nice to have the documentation. There's awards and recognition given out on all kinds of avenues. There's MVPs. There's employees of the year. You could even have a trophy wife. There's all kinds of ways of documenting success. But that's not true success when you look at it from a Christian standpoint. James 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. The Bible already documents what your success is. Are you humble before God? If you are humble before God, you're humble before whom you need to be, and the recognition from whom you need it to be, you will have. Success sometimes means being able to take it easy and enjoy yourself in life. I think about all the things I'd like to enjoy if I had the time. Some days I'd get up and I'd sit around and do nothing but drink coffee and read. I might go fishing all day. I'd put together a militia, travel the country, and just take care of a lot of problems for a lot of people. Those are things I would enjoy. And that could be deemed successful because then you're just getting to indulge what you enjoy. But if I had that kind of time, there's probably other things that I ought to be sinking my time into. The Christian life isn't always the enjoyable life. It means selflessness. It means service. It means giving up your time to do tasks that aren't necessarily enjoyable. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, this about what it is to follow Him. As they were going along the road, someone said to Him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to go and say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." See, the Christian life isn't always the easiest one to enjoy. And it's not always the most enjoyable at times. Because sometimes, as you see from a text like that, what it takes to follow Jesus takes a lot, requires a lot. But it is the only way that you can have true success, by following Jesus. That is the way to be successful, becoming a Christian. If that is not the case for you tonight, we need to have the opportunity, and we ask for the opportunity to explain to you what that is, what that looks like in order to become a follower of God. For most of us here, though, that is the case. So more than likely, what success might mean for most of us tonight is if we need some help being the people that we originally committed to being when we began to follow Jesus. Maybe we're letting earthly success have a higher priority than what it should, and it's replacing what should define godly success, true success in our lives. And if you need some help with that tonight, just in the same way, we'd like to help you with that, and we ask for the chance to help you with that. If you want help with anything tonight publicly, please come forward as we stand and sing.